You're listening to the media ministry of Calvary Christian Fellowship with Pastor Adam. Grab your Bible for our verse-by-verse study of God's Word.
Father, we give you thanks this morning. As we sing a song, Lord, that I surrender all to you, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray that the song that we sing is not just lip service. Because even as I think about, well, the study that we are going to look at, well, it takes surrender. It takes dying to ourselves in order to accomplish, to do what you have called us to do. And so, Lord, as we even tackle this study again for the guys this morning, I pray that they will really take note and really look to you for help, so that they may be the godly husbands that you have called them to be. Lord, this word is not just for the husbands, it's for every one of us in here. And so, Lord, do that work that you're so good at doing and has changed in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, well, we had an opportunity, for those of you who were not here, we looked at the first commandment for couples, for husband and wives. Well, it's the wife, submit to your husband. And I think it was the best message ever. Because why? After speaking last week, I realized that, well, once the women get it, once they learn submission, we don't need to address the men. And so we're going to move on to the children today. No, I know after last week the women was like, all right, give it to them. Give it to the guys really hard. And so I prayed and I realized that, well, I'm an expert in telling my wife what to do, but when it comes to myself, it's really hard. It's really challenging to look at myself, to look at ourselves and say, God, what is it that you would have us to do as husbands? How would you have us to serve our wives? Well, they are supposed to follow. I'm supposed to lead. And a lot of times you will have guys with this mentality, well, I will go wherever I want to go, and my wife needs to follow and just submit, and that's it. Well, you see, there is two types of leadership. There's the one that, well, I want respect, so I'm going to demand respect. You need to follow me, wife. You need to go where I go and do what I do. And for that reason, well, when guys come to a Bible study that the pastor talks about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Well, for this one guy, he went home and he told his wife, wife, see, it's right there. You need to follow me. You need to submit to me. You need to respect me. And so the wife, she said, okay. She grabbed her seat and she sat down and she said, I just want you to know I am, on the outside I'm sitting down, but on the inside, well, I'm standing up. You can't demand respect. You can't demand, tell your wife that you need to follow. Because if you do that, well, she will rebel. And so the way that the Lord have us to lead our wives, well, we have to earn it, guys. It won't come easy. You see, in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, it says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Guys, you and I, we are called to be servants. You see, early, well, some way, middle way in my marriage, after, you know, bumping heads with my wife for a period of time, for about 5 or 6 years, I came across a study where a guy talked about, well, being a slave to my wife. Being a slave? Oh, yes, this is what Jesus was talking about when you become a servant to all. If you want your wife to follow you, well, serve her. Just love on her. And when you love on her, well, guess what? This, as we talked about last week, well, she will have no problem submitting to you because she feels loved, she feels secure. And so as we look now at this second commandment in marriage, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. The second commandment. Guys, repeat after me. I ought to love my wife. Thou shalt love thy wife. Period. You see, again, it's easy to watch our wives and say, well, if you would submit, everything will be fine. And we looked at, again, last week, wives submitting, and I know for some of the women, they say, man, this is hard. And all the guys have to do is love me. That's easy. I'm easy to love, guys. That's what the women say, right? And you guys get off really easy. You just have to love me. Well, women, before we go too far, understand, well, it's not as easy as you think. This thing called love, this thing that we have been called to do, you see, there's a number of things that will hinder us guys from loving you and just serving you. You see, us guys, well, we are called to lead, we are called to provide, we're called to protect, we're called to be the priest of our house, to our wives. But you see, what you don't know is that we suffer from, well, it's the Adam syndrome. You may not have heard of it, but if you look up in Genesis chapter 3, you find that, well, Eve is there standing at the tree to pick that fruit. And she picked that fruit after the snake, the serpent, spoke to her. She said, well, I'm going to eat of the fruit. And she took it and she took a bite out of it. And then it said that she took that fruit and gave it to her husband. Wait. She did what? Where was Adam? You see, Adam was right there by her side. And he failed to lead her. He failed to protect her. Listen, Adam had the Adam syndrome, the lazy syndrome. Guys, we can be very lazy when we are called to love our wives, when we are called to lead, when we are called to protect. And instead, what do we do? Well, we want to stay home and play video games. We want to stay home and watch sports all day. We want to go out fishing and we want to go and do all of the things that we love to do and forsake what the command, what Christ have called us to do, protecting, loving, serving our wives. Guys, don't be lazy. And on the flip side, don't be too busy. Don't be too busy. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I want you to look at something here. Listen to as Solomon writes here, he says, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test with my pleasure to find out what is good, but that also provided to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of his life. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to whatever groves or flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves. I had the other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned many herds of flocks than any in Jerusalem before me. I assembled silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women, male and women singers and harems, as well as delights of the heart of men. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me in the days this my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. Understand Solomon, a guy that was supposed to be rich and supposed to be full of wisdom. But here is what he has purpose in his heart: to go out and conquer the world, to do everything under the sun. This is a guy who had 300 wives and 700 concubines, 1,000 women in his life. And he was busy with all these other projects. Guys, we have one wife, and the Bible commands one wife. Let me just make that clear. But we can set out and be so busy running after work and projects and doing everything, and again, and forsake our ministry to our wives. Not only do we sometimes are lazy, not only that we are too busy, but third, guys, because of the curse. The curse? Yes, listen, again, if you look in Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that, well, after the fall of man, God told the wife that, Eve, you will want to rule over your husband, but he will rule over you. It's the curse. Women want to lead. Women want to say, well, I don't trust you, so I'm going to fight against you and what you want to do. I'm going to... And now there's a button of heads. And there's a tendency, I spoke about it last week, for when a woman is trying to fight for that leadership position in the house, guys usually throw in the towel and say, you do what you want to do. Yes, dear, I will submit to you. Listen, no, guys. We have a responsibility. It's a command by God to lead our wives, to love our wives. And fourthly, well, sometimes our wives are, listen, not easy to understand. We're called to love her, but we don't understand. One of my favorite passages in the scriptures is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, husbands, dwell with your wife with understanding. Well, here's the thing. I don't understand my wife. I don't think I will ever understand her, but I'm called to dwell with her with understanding. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Guys, you may be able to relate. My wife comes to me and says, Alan, I'm burdened, I'm stressed, here's what's going on in my life, and now she's sharing what's going on in her life. And I said, well, let me tell you, maybe you should try. And she will stop me and she said, could you just listen? I'm sharing. I just want you to listen. I don't want you to fix the problem. Just listen. Okay, makes no sense to me, but I'm dwelling with my wife with understanding. I will listen. Following week, I'm getting an update. Well, I'm still burdened. I'm still, you know, all this thing is going on. And so, since I learned from last week to just listen, now I'm listening. And now she says, why aren't you telling me anything? Why are you quiet? I don't know. What am I supposed to do? Listen, it is hard, it is difficult, and for that reason, we guys want to just check out and not deal with our wives. No, guys, we are called to love. And lastly, fifthly, why is it difficult? Because of love itself. Because of love itself. Have you examined love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not boast, not that envy. But did you hear the last one in verse 8? It says, love never fails. Ooh, guys. When we are to love our wife despite of what she's doing or despite of how she's responding, we are to love her unconditionally. And even though she rebels against you, you're still supposed to pursue her as Christ pursued the church. Love never fails. Ah, guys, you're probably saying, oh, this is going to be tough. Yes, it's going to be tough. Yes, it was tough when Christ came here on the earth to pursue his bride. And instead of embracing him, they spat on him. And instead of putting their arms around him, they put their fist in his face. It ain't going to be easy. But guys, that's what we are called to do. It is a command from the Lord. And so in this section of Scripture, we're going to look at three specific things that we are to do as Christ gave that example. Look with me again. Husbands, love your wife. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Paul gives us again three standard or examples of how we are to love our wife just as Christ loved the church. He said first, he said he gave himself up for her. Secondly, that he cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, through the word. And third, to present her to himself as a radiant church. Now, I want us to look at each of these and just grasp it, to meditate on it, to digest it. First, again, he gave himself up for her. Notice that it's in past tense. He gave himself. It's the past. We're going to deal with the past, the present, and the future. Now, most men sacrifice themselves, in the dating days. It's when you're dating and now you're spending your last penny, you're staying up all night, even though you have to go to work the next morning, you're pursuing your wife, you're giving yourself, you're sacrificing yourself, but something happens at the altar. Oh, maybe after the honeymoon, sorry. Something happens after the honeymoon. Why are we stopping what we're doing when we're in the dating days? Why is it stopping there? Why are we becoming lazy? Why? Well, I'll give you this example of this guy. His name is Wes Bentley. This ministry, far-reaching ministry. He's out there, I believe, in the Sudan or northern Uganda. And his ministry is there as he tries to protect women and children that are caught in the middle of a civil war. When the enemy comes to defeat, to destroy their little town, the guys, the men of that town usually run and leave the women and children defenseless without any help. And so he raised up an army of Ugandans, and now they're there. It's not a lot of them, but they're there to protect these young women and children from the enemy. And so when he showed up, he told them, the women, he said, listen, we are here to stand, we will fight, and we will die, but we will not surrender you to the wicked. Let me say that again. He said, we will stand, we will fight, and we will die, but we will not surrender you to the wicked. Now he turned to the soldiers, and he said to them, he said, if the enemy is 20,000 and it's only five of you, he said, listen, be prepared to see the Lord, but you will not leave your post. You will not turn away until every woman and child is evacuated. Now, that spoke to me. Because you see, today we have a whole lot of guys that, we don't stand. We don't stand for our marriages. We don't stand for our wives. We are there. We are men. And we are called to protect, to provide. It's interesting how men will go off into war and they will run in the face of a bullet. They will dodge bombs. And they will come home to their wives and their wife will say something. And we will say, you hurt my feelings. Is that a man? When something goes wrong, instead of just having thick skin and a soft heart and say, you know what, I will take that beating. I will endure what my wife is saying, but I will continue to love her. I will stand no matter what. I will not give way so that the enemy can divide and destroy. Guys, we have orders It is hard, it is a battle, but we have to stand because why? We look at how many marriages end in divorce because men won't die to their pride and said, I don't care, I'm going to stand. It was something that my dad had told my mom a long time ago. I was maybe before I was even a teenager. I remember, well, they went through a hard time in marriage. My dad, well, he wasn't the easiest guy to be around. But I remember my mom, she was, well, she wasn't too happy, and she was thinking of leaving, and he said, if you go, I'm coming with you. And so I told my wife the same thing. I said, wherever you go, when you're packing your bags, I'm packing mine too. You see, that is the attitude we are to have. Instead of turning our backs when in the heat of the moment, we want to give up. We want to surrender. But don't, guys, we cannot surrender. Marriage is, listen, is a ministry. We are here to, well, we will get into it, to save our wives from sin. We can't really do it ourselves, but we are the instrument that God will use to help our wives with her sin in her life. And so, how your attitude should be? Well, turn with me this time, 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you guys to really not just hear this, not just hear me read it today, but go home and meditate on it. And the same thing for wives. I'm not, you know, this applies to you too. 1 Peter chapter 2, listen, verse 19. For it is commendable if a man bears up under a pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you what? An example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Again, by his wounds, you have been healed. For we are like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your soul. And now I want you to jump down to chapter 3, verse 7. It says, husband, in the same way. Make that connection, guys. In the same way, just as Jesus set that example that they hurled insults at him, they beat him, they spat at him, they put him on a tree. In the same way, husbands, as your wife spit on you, as she don't want to follow after you, in the same way, he says, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayer. In the same way, guys, Jesus gave us the example. He showed us how we are to walk, how we are to live in face of hard times, in face of trouble. We are not to surrender, guys, but instead we are to, well, what did Jesus did? Oh, man. Listen, he gave himself for the church. He gave himself for his bride, and we are to do the same. When you lay down your life, guys, when you lay down your life, your wife will have no problem following you. Because she will say, well, I know I can be difficult sometimes, but this guy loves me. Where will I go? What would I do without him? Because no matter what I throw at him, he still loves me. You see, we think the opposite, and even as I was just thinking about it this morning, so many, you know, macho guys would say, oh, you have to go check in with the wife. You have to go ask her to go to the mall. You have to ask her to go here and there. You have to. No, guys. You're protecting your wife. You're serving your wife. That's what Christ did when he came. He did what? He got down and he girded himself and he washed feet. Have you ever tried washing your wife's feet? Wash her feet. She will love you for it. Trust me. Second thing that the Lord shows us as an example, going back to Ephesians, it says, he cleansed her by the washing with the water through the word. Jesus demonstrated his love by being what? A priest to his bride. Not only providing for our physical needs, but also for our spiritual needs. It is your duty to take care of your wife spiritually, guys. Remember that. It's not just, hey, I go out to work and I bring home the bacon and now she cooks it and that's all. No, listen, we have a responsibility to minister to our wife through the word. So here's what this means. You go to, I'll tell you at the end, if you come see me, a store where they sell pulpits that you can buy. No, you don't buy a pulpit, you don't preach down to your wife. But here is what it means. Guys, yes, you're here to church on Sunday. That's good. But don't let it stop here. Get involved in any ministry that where you can get the word poured into you. Turn on the Christian radio station and listen to the word all day. Get into your Bible. Do devotions. Turn on Christian turn on the radio, Christian radio, and get the word poured into you. And guess what? When you are poured into now, out of an overflow of what has been poured into you, now when your wife comes and say, honey, this is what's going on in my life, now you can share with her the word of God, and the word is what changes a life. Now you're washing her with the word. You see, it's not only, well, if you are reading, doing devotion to your wife, excellent. But listen, that is not it. Don't stop there. Constantly cover your wife with the word of God. And here's the deal. When she sees that you're in love with your God, she will love your God as well. And so guys, do not neglect your spiritual responsibility. It means, again, sharing her with the word. It means praying for her and with her. Guys, when your wife comes with you with some problem, pray with her. Don't say, oh, I'll pray for you. No, pray with her. That is something we are to be practicing. Not only that, man, listen, it means providing an atmosphere where she can grow spiritually. Now, what I find is that many couples, they don't come together when it comes to going to the same church. They have different beliefs or different backgrounds, and the husband will say, well, this is what I'm going to do, and the wife will say, well, this is what I'm going to do, and then there's a division. But understand, how can two walk if they're not in agreement? And so here's an opportunity for a guy again to die to himself and say, you know what, I'm going to provide for my wife a spiritual atmosphere where she can learn and grow. When I met my wife, she was going to a Baptist church, and it was a one verse church where they preached a whole sermon in one verse, and when you left there, you still didn't know what you got. But I was attending that church with my wife, and after we been there for a while, I started challenging her, hey, you know, with the music that you listen to, hey, listen to this pastor. And now that I'm pointing her to certain other things besides just that, now she's learning and she's growing, and now the Lord led us to a church where we started to get into the word. But understand, it's not, well, I don't like what you're doing and I'm going my own way. But no, it's both of you, husband, you meeting your wife's needs and saying, let's pray about this, let's see where we're going to go, let's do this together. Because that atmosphere that you are growing in is so important. And then, thirdly, the third example that we see here, he gave us what he did. He died for her. He sacrificed his life that dealt with the past. He's washing her with the word that's dealing with the present. But now look at the future. He says to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Listen, marriage, when you look at marriage is probably the greatest investment you can make. Husbands, marriage is the greatest investment you can make in your own life. When you pour into your wife, when you bless her, when you love her, you're doing it for yourself. And so, here's what I've discovered. Just like a bank account, you go in there and you put in $5. You don't go the next day and say, where's my $100? It won't work. It's the same thing with your marriage. If you go in there and you're not pouring into your wife, don't expect to get a lot out of it. You whatever you put into your wife is what you're going to get out. And so, here's some wise investments I can give to you. Assure your wife, assure your love for your wife. Guys, it's something that we need to be doing. You see, that stopping at the altar where we say, well, I love you, I told her that I love her, and we got married, and so I don't need to tell her I love her anymore. No, listen, the more you tell your wife, something about hearing and even making the connection. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. Same thing, guys, your wife, by telling her you love her, it's like filling up her love tank. Don't stop. One of the things that my wife and I, we used to do early in our marriage, we would write this little acronym. It's S-M-I-L-Y. And we will take it and we'll put it in different places in the house or in you know, as she goes to work, I put it in the car or something. And now she's seeing S-M-I-L-Y, Schmilly. S-H-M-I-L-Y. See how much I love you. And it touched her, you know. And I don't do it anymore. And I'm confessing. Why? Why do we stop? Keep telling, keep assuring your wife of her love. Hold on, anyone have a pen? I need to write that down. That was good. Be affectionate. Thank you. Be affectionate with her. Listen, guys, in a non-sexual way. Touch her hand. Just put your arms around her. Be affectionate to rub her on her back. But guys, don't always look for, well, you know what? Is it time? No, it's not time. I got Tylenol. And listen, guys, here's a challenging one. Show her your love for her by listening to her and sharing in her interests. I don't know how many of you guys like to go shopping with your wife. That is one of the most challenging things. But here's what I've discovered as I go. I don't like shopping with my wife, but here's what I discovered. As she's going around looking for outfits for herself, I join in. Honey, here, what do you think about this one? And now instead of being bored and oh man, she's taking so long, now I'm helping her and now she appreciates it. It tells her that I love her. I usually, you know, want to just go and find a bench somewhere. But join into her. Listen, guys. Listen to your wife. And I know, even looking at my daughter, she is 4 years old and she can talk already. She speaks 15,000 words a day, and she have gusts up to 20,000. And your wife can talk, and we don't want to talk. You know what I find? Well, women like to share. Guys like to talk. Can I share, honey? Oh, gosh. Listen. Listen to her. Because when you're doing that, it tells her again that you love her. You're assuring her of her love, of your love for her. Also, guys, we are to listen to our, lead our wife to Christ. When you lead your wife to Christ, everything that comes into your house, keep pointing her to Christ. And that's going to build a solid marriage relationship. Now again, marriage, an investment. If you today are looking at your wife and saying, man, she is not as good looking because she just don't have time to take care of herself. If she is burnt out, if she looked like she just been hit by a car or, you know, stressed out like a pimple that's ready to pop, listen. Guys, it's because of you. You ever thought of that? It's because of you. You're not meeting her needs. You're leaving her out by herself. If your wife is stressed out, it's because of you. Understand, it's a ministry. And here's what I find, that man, we like to go out to do ministry. Oh, I want to serve the Lord and we want to go and save the world. But what about our wives? Are we investing in our wives? Are we loving them? Are we washing them in the Word? Are we getting down on our knees and praying for them and praying with them? This is what we're called to do. And we cannot be lazy about it. We cannot be too busy for it. Understand, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, Eve took of that fruit and she gave it to her husband. And who did God come to first? Adam, you are responsible for what happens in your house. And I know there's times when, well, there's difficulty and you want to run from it and you don't want to deal with it. But understand, even if you get into a divorce, you, husband, are still responsible for what happened. You will have to stand before God one day and say, what did you do with this woman I gave you? She is my daughter. What did you do with her? Did you lay down your life for her? Did you sacrifice all of your hobbies and your desires? And here's my deal. I just want to clarify, because I'm not saying that you can't go out and do things that you like, guys. But here's the deal. Go to your wife. Make sure her needs are met first. And what you will find is that she will say, yeah, go ahead. You got want to go fishing? Go ahead. Enjoy yourself. But if you're running out and doing your own thing, and now she will be frustrated. And when you say, well, I'm going to do something, you find her getting very frustrated. Why? Because you're not meeting her needs. Guys, we are there to wash our wives, to take care of them, to love them. I will close with this story. Well, let me just read verse 29. It says, after all, no one ever hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Again, you're loving yourself when you love your wives, guys. You're loving yourself. You're blessing yourself. And he goes on, he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Before we go any further, I just want to speak about this, because I've seen this happen too many times where, guys, you're married to your wife, but mom is in there with you. Your mom is in your wife's house, and now she's cleaning for her, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if your wife is not comfortable with it, guys, protect your wife. I've spoken to a woman recently, and she's saying, you know, it's her husband and her mom and his mom. They're making all the decisions, and she have no part in it, and now she feel like she's just there. And guys is like, well, it's my mom. Yes, it's your mom. But the Bible says, leave your father and mother and be united with your wife. Cling to your wife. She is your number one priority in your house. And he goes on and said, verse 32, now, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Notice what Paul said. This is a profound mystery. All of what we talked about here, yes, we were talking about marriage, but Paul is really talking about what? Christ and his church. Christ is doing a work in his church. He is washing her. He's sanctifying her so that we, the church, can be a light to the world. This is a profound mystery. Understand, after I got married, a couple of years into it, a family member of mine came and said, I want to get married again one day and I want it to be like yours. Why? You see, because Christ is the center of my marriage, and because he is the center, listen, people are looking out for the outside and say, that looks good. But you cannot have what I have unless you have who I have, and that is Christ. Amen. And so, guys, this is a profound mystery. We can learn from this mystery when you invest into your wife. Listen, people will say, wow, you have a great thing there. And now you can say, well, it's because of my Savior, you see. And so, I want to give a challenge here, and I will close with a story, but I want to give a challenge for you who are single, you who are thinking of getting married today. Think about what marriage is all about. Again, marriage is a ministry, and so often we think, well, I want to get married because I want to feel good. It's very challenging. So consider what you're committing to. You're making a vow before God, till death do us part. You have to deal with that guy when he says, I'm going to be a dictator. And God is saying, you have to submit to him. Without words, win him over. And for the guys to love their wives, even if they're not submissive, if they're fighting and going the other way, we are to love them no matter what. Listen, it's a challenge, but it's a ministry, and that is what we're called to do. And for you who are married, if you are looking at your marriage relationship right now and saying, well, it's okay, it can be improved, well, here's your opportunity. Improve it. Invest into it. Pour into it. Because what you pour into it is what you get back out. I want to close with a story. There's a couple, John and Sally. They met, they got married, and it started off well, but shortly after, well, little things led to bigger things. They started to get into little argument. And that led to bigger arguments, and before you know it, they became each other's worst enemy. But because this couple, they came from a traditional background, they didn't really believe in divorce, so there was just one way out. That's death. And so one day, as Sally went to a herbal store, she knew the guy behind the counter, and as she was sharing her frustration, he told her, well, wait 1 minute, I'll be back. And he went to the back, and he came back on. He gave her a couple of herbs, and he said, listen, if you will give this to your husband, put it in his meal every other day, it will build up slow poison in his body, and it's going to kill him, and no one will suspect. But here's what I recommend you do, so no one suspect that you have taken him out. Here's what I suggest that you do. Every 2 days, as you prepare that meal and put that in there, don't argue with him, don't fight with him, just treat him nice. Whatever, if he tells you to do something, just do it. Just do whatever, but don't argue, don't fight, because if you do, people will say, she took him out. And so she left that store and she went home all excited about, I'm going to take him out. And now as she starts preparing these meals and putting those herbs in there, and now weeks went to months, and now 6 months into it, well, there haven't been any arguments. There haven't been any fights. Everything is going well. In fact, now John is telling all of his family and friends, oh, he have the best wife ever. And now she is falling in love with him all over again. And oh, well, the poison. So now she runs back to the store and she says, hey, I made a mistake. My husband, he's the best husband ever. But I want to stop the poison. It's going to kill him. And now the herbalist says, The only poison, Sally, was in your mind. It's what you thought about your husband, but now that as you serve him, as you love him, now the herbs that I gave you was just to make his health better. There's no poison. It's what we put in our mind, what we allow the enemy to speak to us and say, well, she's not this and he's not that. And now we're swallowing that poison and now we're treating our spouse badly. But understand, when we love one another, when we are obedient to the word of God, listen, we will have the result of what this story I just gave you. And marriage could be a beautiful thing. It won't be that nightmare that so many people are dealing with. It could be a beautiful thing if we will do what? Be obedient to just two commandments. Actually, it's one. Guys, love your wives. Women, submit to your husband. It's very simple. But you, again, it's your choice. Do it your way, which seems right. It makes logical sense if I don't go and do, if I do it my way. But if you do it Christ's way, if you do it Christ's way, you will get Christ's results. And I know everyone wants that. I can see the smiles. Oh, that sounds good. And guys, let me just close with this. If you invest into your wives and you treat her nice, guys, there's a treat in it for you. Lord will bless you. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word, which is so simple, Lord, how you put it. You didn't put any burdens upon us. You just simply gave us two little commandments in four verses. And if we would just simply obey, if we would simply just trust you, Lord, that you would do a marvelous work in our lives and in our marriage. And that marriage, our marriage, Lord, will truly be a ministry to the watching world who wants, well, we all want a good marriage. We all want to enjoy life. But we know that it's in when you are in the middle, Lord, and when we are honoring you with our marriage, that we can receive such a blessing. So, Father, I pray for anyone here that is struggling in marriage, Lord, that you will speak to their hearts and that you help them to just trust in you, to just be obedient to your word and leave the rest to you. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is my hope and prayer that you have been blessed by this study. If you have and would like to listen to more Bible studies, you can do so by visiting us online to download free MP3s or to subscribe to our podcast at ccfjax.org. You may also give us a call to request a copy on CD at 904-628-1-GOD. That's 904-628-1463.